is Jared and the GM on Championship Wednesday. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game. Floyd, I got to be honest with you.
Yes, sir.
They just showed on NFL Network the Lamar Hunt Trophy, and they had a Chiefs helmet and a Titans helmet next to it. It was pretty surreal seeing the Titans helmet next to the Lamar Hunt Trophy. I mean, when you think about it, how many days we've been on the air talking about what has to happen for the Titans to be contenders? What has to happen for the Titans to be a Super Bowl team? You know, is this team good enough? Is this coach good enough? Is this quarterback good enough? Is this... You're 60 minutes away from the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
60 minutes away from the Super Bowl.
The I don't like the new trophy. It's not brand new now.
Yeah, it's been a couple years, yeah. No, I liked it when it had a big base with a giant gold A,
man, that thing,
and you would just lift it up like
and
this.
And that thing weighed 50 pounds. I mean, it was heavy.
Oh, yeah. So the one that they have now, like Belichick and Brady last year were just holding it kind of by like the little thing, and they are just kind of just, here, you want it? I mean, it's like your beer league fantasy football trophy. I completely agree. Thank God they'll never change the Super Bowl trophy. Because, and I think that, I'll be honest with you, I think the Super Bowl trophy is the best trophy in sports. It is the perfect size. Like, the Stanley Cup is too big. The NBA trophy is too wide. The baseball trophy has too many things that can get broken on it. Like, the Super Bowl trophy is, you can hold it. It's big, but it's not too big. I mean, it is, it's a great trophy.
And everybody in the sports world knows exactly what it is.
You know,
you look right at it and you go, there it is.
Okay.
Same thing with Stanley Cup.
Let's say if the Titans win the Super Bowl this year, and we're in Miami, will you kiss the Super Bowl trophy? Even though this, you're technically not on the team. I mean, you are the grandfather of this team.
Yeah. I would just like to see it. I would just like to be around it a little bit when it's on, when it's not covered. It seems like every time I'm around them, they're covered.
Would you take, like, honor in, like, would you feel like you were a part of that Super Bowl trophy if the Titans win the Super Bowl?
Oh, no, I don't think I feel like I was part of that trophy. I think I would take tremendous pride in the fact that, you know, here's a place that you worked at for a while that, you know, is a Super Bowl champ. Now, that's pretty special.
So but would it be more special than last year when New England won their title?
But this one, for me, this one will always be the, you know, the one that's the most special, simply because, you know, of how it started, you know, way back when.
So, like, you, when you watch the Vikings or you watch the Lions or the Patriots, or there's no true, real attachment like there is here, where, like, this is your team.
Yeah, because, I mean, we got it all here. You know, we started it here. And so I think that's a little bit more meaningful.
And you gave a glowing review of this general manager before he was general manager to the team president, which
And it looks like it's pretty good endorsement. He's doing a heck of a job. I'm going to tell you what they're doing. I mean, it's off the charts.
So I have a question for you that I know you're not going to like. We have talked at length about Derrick Henry and about what Derrick Henry is going to have to get paid when he becomes a free agent. Floyd, I think they're going to have to, and we talked, we said, okay, Zeke is $15 million, Gurley is like 14.5, and then there's everybody else who's after that, Le'Veon Bell, this one, that one, and then finally, like, Devontae Freeman is 8.5, and you and I said, he's getting more than Devontae Freeman. You know, he's at least getting $10 million, and you said, you know, $10, $11 million is probably as far as you can go with Derrick Henry. Do you have an option at this point to not make Derrick Henry the highest paid running back in the NFL? I mean, I feel like what Derrick has done in the playoffs has risen his stock to the point where you have said that he on this team, that this is the best fit for him, and you hope that he realizes that and that he won't go to a team that fits him better than the Titans. And you're probably right. But your other argument was how many people around the league look at Derrick Henry and say, I want to make him the highest paid running back. And I guarantee you now there are owners and there are teams who, if they got a shot to pay Derrick Henry, they would pay Derrick Henry. So do you think now, even though Derrick is not a different player necessarily than he was 6-8 weeks ago, do you think now as a GM you're coming to grips with the fact that I'm going to have to make him the highest paid running back in the league. And I may not even like it.
Yeah. I don't know. That would be tough for me to do, I think. I would tag him before I think I'd do that.
Really?
Yeah.
What if Derek says I'm not showing up?
Oh, he'll show up. To be tagged, you're still making, I don't know what the number is. I mean, it's still a pretty good number. It's not like you're being cheated. And it may, you know, it may make him look harder at the contract you're doing. I mean, I have no clue what's going to happen, but I wouldn't be surprised if both these guys don't get tagged and then see if you can work something out later.
The number last year for running backs was 11.322. Now, that was before Zeke's new deal, so that's going to raise the tag, I would think, rather significantly. So you're probably looking at somewhere in the neighborhood of $13 million if you tag Derrick Henry. So what's the difference between giving Derrick 15.1 and giving Derrick 13 on the tag?
$2+ million.
That's Harry Douglas money.
You know what? You call it whatever you want. $2 million significant.
No, it's not.
Oh, yes.
$2 million? Yeah. When you're talking about Derrick Henry? I mean, I think that what's happened is these guys, Mariota went into a contract year and it was like, all right, Mariota's going to play it. And if Mariota balls out, then you're going to have to pay Mariota all the big money. And Mariota stunk, so you don't have to pay Mariota any money. And now Mariota will make about $7 million next year as a backup in Chicago behind Trubisky. And then Trubisky will get benched and Mariota will get another shot. Great for him. I hope it works out. I really do. Derrick Henry was in the same boat, right? Enters the last year of his deal. All right. We'll see. Is Derrick Henry the real deal after those four games last year? Is Derrick Henry really this big-time bruising running back who can make a difference? Or, you know, is Derrick the guy who tries to shuffle a lot at the line of scrimmage and gets a bunch of 2- and 3-yard losses? Well, now Derrick Henry, for at least right now, is playing at the caliber of Jim Brown. So you're going to have to pay him like he's the best running back in the league. If you were to ask me who are the best players in the league, the best overall players in the entire NFL, I would have to say Mahomes is up there, Russell Wilson's up there, and Derrick Henry's up there. I mean, you got to pay that man, Floyd. You have to pay that man. And these playoffs, now, again, if you're looking at it from the standpoint of, do you want your team to be good, then Derrick's done a great job. But if you're looking at it from the standpoint of, you know, the negotiating table, Derrick is killing you right now at the negotiating table with the way he's playing.
Well, yeah, it's costing you every time he's going out and
busting 200.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, it goes up a little bit. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
I think Derrick Henry is entering the territory of don't hurt me. I mean, I knew what you were doing yesterday when you said, I hope Derrick and Ryan Tannehill realize how good they are for each other and how good this is for them. You're saying, hey, you know, these two guys, hopefully they realize that a couple extra million bucks isn't going to be the end of the world for them because they're the most successful when they're together. So why don't you take a little extra money, a little less money to come here? And then Derek would probably say, because it's $2 million, like you just said, $2 million.
It's not gonna do him any good. Now, this is ridiculous, you know, for me to say, because I'm negotiating on the other side of the table, but it's not going to do him. We've already seen Derrick Henry running behind a poor offensive line. And Derrick running behind a poor offensive line is just like you said, you know, -2, -1, -2, -7, -2. It's not the same. And the same thing with the quarterback. Quarterback has already played in a franchise that wants him to go out and throw it 50 times a game. And where did that get you? You know, that got you here. And so, I think it's going to be, hopefully, it will be important for them to understand, because if those guys coming back and they keep this offensive line intact and all that kind of stuff, I mean, that's part of the team you're probably not going to have to worry a great deal about.
Well, and if Henry and Tannehill take big money, you're probably not going to be able to keep Jack Conklin.
Well, I mean, you don't. There's ways. They'll figure it out.
Well, you don't get three tags. You only have two tags.
No, well, they're going to have to pay somebody. You know, whoever wants to be paid right now is probably going to get paid, and the other's tagged. Whoever that may be.
Is it wrong that I don't think the Titans will have any problem coming to an agreement with Logan Ryan? Like, to me, the four free agents, and there's a lot of free agents on this team who they got to sign, but the four free agents that they have that are the key free agents are Henry, Tannehill, Conklin, and Ryan. And not in that order, but just those four. And I would say that I think they re-sign Logan Ryan. I think they re-sign Henry. I think Tannehill, Henry, and Logan Ryan are all back. Conklin, I think, is a question mark. You know, I don't know what happens with him. And then there's a bunch of other guys like, you know, Tajay Sharp and LaShawn Sims and Dennis Kelly and all of those guys, which are, you know, they're important, but they're not, you know, the main studs. But I know what you mean. I'm just saying, I feel like Derrick Henry has played himself to the highest paid running back in the league. He leads the league in rushing yards. He leads the league in touchdowns. He's crushing the best teams in the conference. Just embarrassed Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick. I mean, somebody will pay him if you won't pay him. Now, you can tag him, and they probably will tag him. If it came down to Henry or Tannehill and you only had one tag, who'd you tag?
Well, I don't have. I have two. So I don't have to make that choice.
You going
to
tag Logan too?
I'm going to tag. No, I mean, well, you're going to have to sign somebody. I mean, there's no doubt about that. But I think you may have a, and you don't know who you'll sign. You know, you don't know how that's going to work out. But, you know, whoever you sign, you'll narrow it down and get to the point where, okay, you're the one I want to tag.
This time next year, will Derrick Henry be a Titan? Your gut.
Oh, I think they both will.
This time next year, will Derrick Henry be making more money than Ezekiel Elliott?
I don't think so.
Let's take your phone calls. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. I think they're going to have to pay Derrick Henry. I think he's going to have to be the highest paid running back in the NFL, even if he is not the quote-unquote best running back in the NFL. Also coming up next, Nick Saban explains where he thinks Derrick Henry gets stronger as the game goes on. What does Floyd think about what Saban has to say? And then we're right to your phones. Jared and the GM live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game. We're streaming on the Game Nashville app.
Yeah, the thing that stands out to me is old school football still works in today's game. Yes. And you saw it right there. Pound the football. I don't care. Hey, ground and pound, it works. And when you bring a defense out there that creates turnovers, gets after the quarterback, you can still win. And to me, this big horse right now, this guy right here has been the difference. And they're riding him. 30 carries a game, 35 times. It makes crazy. No difference. Right now, it's the playoff time. They don't care. Hey, Tannehill's been efficient. He only threw, what, he completed 6 passes. So what? He had the big touchdown pass, and we're going to ride it, and we're going to ride our defense. And nobody, as Coach Payton said, nobody wants to play this team.
That was Rex Ryan talking about old school football with Derrick Henry. Nick Saban, Floyd, was on Morning Drive. And they were kind of asking, Saban said something at SEC Media Days to us where he said, the more Derrick Henry gets the ball, the better he plays. And a lot of people think that's because that big running back, as Rex Ryan was just talking about, that big running back wears teams down. But Nick Saban thinks it's more complicated than simply Derrick Henry wearing your defense down. This is what Nick Saban said this morning on Morning Drive.
I think two things happen. I think he gets stronger and stronger, but I think there's another factor in that, you know, people don't realize is, you know, the guys on the other side, I was always a secondary coach. You know, when I coached the Houston Oilers, we had Mike Rozier, and, you know, he was a kind of a big, physical, strong guy. And even in practice, you know, the DBs get tired of tackling a guy like that. You know, the linebackers get tired of tackling a guy like that. All right, so two things are happening. He's getting stronger because he's a big, physical, strong guy, but the other team's also getting a little, you know, weary of trying to tackle the guy on a consistent basis. And, you know, that's very frustrating. And then I think there's really a third factor going on now. You know, football has changed, you know, dramatically in the last 10 years. All right, so you really kind of build your team. I don't care if it's NFL or college. I know this has happened to us here. A little bit different because people are spread. There's more passing. So you got to have better pass rushers. You have to have more speed on the field. You've got smaller linebackers who can play in space. All right, well, now you get a team that's committed to running the ball. It's no different than defending the wishbone in the old days. You never played against it much, so it was really difficult. Well, you don't play against teams like the Titans, who have won two games and not passed for 100 yards in either one of those games, and people can't stop the run, but their team's really not built that way anymore. All right, so this is kind of an unusual circumstance that I think is hitting on all cylinders, you know, for the Titans.
Floyd, what do you think of what Saban said there?
I thought, I think he's right about the DBs. In regular season, we won't be right this week. You know, it won't be right for the next two games. But I think there probably is something to, you know, making, as a lot of people call it, those business decisions when you're playing against a guy like this. You know, I think that the last part, you know, I think people are still running the ball and running the ball more effectively than people want to give them credit for. The running game's just not romantic. You know, it's not exciting. It's not tantalizing. You know, you don't, if you're a TV guy, I mean,
Stephen A. Smith don't care about you running the ball.
No, they don't want to see, you know, Derek carrying the ball. They want to see Mahomes winging it. They want to see those 70-yard touchdown passes and the great over-the-shoulder catches and all of that stuff. And I understand that, but I think, I think he's right to a certain extent with Derek in that. And I always felt the running backs that get better as it goes I'm not sure how much of anything physically they do improves. I think their vision gets better, and I think the guys they're playing against slow down a millisecond, just a half, a quarter of a step, and that's enough for him to get a few more yards than he got on that same run in the first quarter.
Tyrann Mathieu today was asked about Derrick Henry, and this is what he said, quote, "The mentality is that somebody is going to have to stop him. Somebody is going to have to make a tackle on him if we want to get to Miami." And I'm guessing that's the way they preach it, is you better tackle them.
Oh, yeah.
You know, someone's got to do it. I know it ain't going to be easy, but somebody's got to tackle old Derrick Henry, because if you don't tackle Derrick Henry, they're going to the Super Bowl. And I think that that's a good rallying cry. The question is, can they do it? You know, Anthony Hitchens, their linebacker, came out today, so you got to tackle him low. I've heard everybody say try to tackle him low. I mean, I've seen guys try to tackle him low, and he just pushes them off. They just showed TD. Terrell Davis is breaking down Derrick Henry on NFL Network, and there are Tampa Bay Buccaneer guys that are trying to go low on Derrick Henry, and he's just pushing them away. Like, all right, get out of here. Like, go away. So I don't know if that's the answer to stop Derrick Henry, but I do think that I think that he wears on teams, but I think it's the situation of the game. I think it's this thing of like, oh, God, we got to stop him. And if we don't stop him here on 3rd-and-1 Baltimore and he gets a first down, that's going to kill us. And then they don't stop him on 3rd-and-1, but they so overcommit to stopping him on 3rd-and-1 that he then runs for 66 yards. And, God, that'd be nice if that happens this week. Let's go to your phones, as
yes,
promised.
It would.
Dylan up next on A.J. Brown. What's up, Dylan?
Hey, guys. Hope you all are having a good one.
You too.
My thing, I know we're about to kickstart this whole A.J. Brown conversation. So the past couple of weeks, A.J. Brown has really let me down. I know I don't want to take anything away from him. I know he had a 1,000-yard season, all that good stuff. But when you put the best defensive backs, in my opinion, in the league on him, nothing. The other receivers, the same thing. Everything has been on Henry. So my question for you guys is, does Mike Vrabel and the rest of the coaches go out there this weekend and light a fire under him and Tannehill and say, hey, well, not just him and Tannehill, the whole wide receiving corps, and go, hey, if we want to make it to the Super Bowl, we've got to do more than rely on Henry. We've got to go out there, and y'all have to get physical off the ball and get open on your routes. I'll go ahead and hang up and listen. You guys have a good afternoon.
Thanks, Dylan. Thanks, Dylan. I think Floyd's down on A.J. Brown just like you are.
Oh, yeah. I'm down on both of them, but particularly A.J. because I thought he might, you know, I thought he might show versus the better corners, because it's everybody can show versus the bad corners. That's not a badge of courage.
That's like Corey Davis catching the touchdown pass and everybody being like, see, Jared, he caught the touchdown pass. See? And I'm like, anybody could have caught that ball. You know, the question is, on 3rd and 11 this week, when they're blitzing D-Ford, he's on San Francisco now, Frank Clark, when Terrell Suggs and Frank Clark are blitzing on 3rd and 11 this week, and so Tannehill doesn't have that much time for you to get open, can Corey Davis or A.J. Brown get open and catch the ball? And, I mean, to be honest with you, Kansas City's DBs are not as good as Baltimore's or New England's, but what has made you think the answer is yes? The best case scenario is A.J. catches a slant, knocks a guy down, and falls forward for the first down.
Yeah, the part that is a concern to me is I think all these guys that have taken him away have been up-in-their-face guys, you know, jam, bump-and-run guys. And if you know that you maybe aren't as fast as some of those other guys, but you also know that bump and run is going to take this guy out of the game, you're going to get up on him now.
Oh, yeah.
You're not worried about how fast he is. You're worried about, you know, me. And I know I can eliminate this guy, keep me from having to tackle him 10 yards down the field or something.
Yeah, like if Khalil Mack can just run by you to the quarterback, well, Harold Landry's going to try to do the same thing.
Yeah.
And that's where they are now, where Corey Davis and A.J. Brown are now, is that the book is out on those guys,
right,
which is rough them up and get they
won't
get
up in their face.
Yep. Yeah.
Be physical with them. And this time of year in these games, the refs are going to let you do that.
Wayne is up next on Derrick Henry's contract. What's up, Wayne?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Appreciate it.
Yep.
If you're going to pay Henry, can you do the same thing that the Preds did with Duchesne and offering, quote-unquote, the hometown discount of no state income tax? Can you pitch that to him and go, okay, you can either be paid 15 somewhere and pay a state income tax, or we'll pay you 13 and there is no income tax? I like it, but listen, guys.
Thanks, Wayne. Floyd?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure they use that. I mean, we used to use that virtually with everybody. Now, agents don't want to hear that. But, yes, they try to sell, and it is a benefit. You know, let's face it, if you're talking about just $1 million, and we're talking about much more than that. But on $1 million, the difference in taxes from here and say the New York or any highly taxed state, I mean, it's off the charts. So you sell that, and you know, the agents, like I said, don't want to admit it because they want to get paid on the total value of the contract. They don't want to give anybody a discount. But the players, I think, will start to realize that a little bit more. And you can sell that to them a little bit easier.
One problem, though, is that it depends on who else is competing for Derrick Henry services. Because if it's a team in Florida or if it's a team in Texas, you know, they have no state income tax either.
Right.
Whereas you were competing with Montreal for Matt Duchesne.
Right.
And the difference between Canadian, you know, income tax and no state income tax in Tennessee is literally astronomical.
Yeah.
You know, that's a minor difference between football and hockey, but there are no Canadian teams to compete with in the NFL. 615-737-1025. Right back to the phones next. 615-737-1025. Plus, Patrick Mahomes said something that I shudder to think that this is a possibility. I worry about it. We'll get to that coming up next. Hey, if you want to go see Foreigner at Ascend Amphitheater, be caller 5 right now at 615-737-1025, and you'll win a pair of tickets before you can buy them to see Foreigner with special guests Kansas and Europe at Ascend Amphitheater on Wednesday, June 24th. Enjoy that. Jared of the GM, it's ESPN 1025 The Game. We're streaming on the Game Nashville app.
Last game you all lost was against the Titans. What have you seen on film that makes both teams better than last time you all played?
Yeah, I think, with the Titans, I mean, the physicality, the determination that they play with, offensive, defense, and special teams, I mean, they really, they're going to get after it every single play. They're going to fight for every single yard. Their defense is going to fly around to the ball. They'll chase down a runner if he breaks. They're not going to give up on anything. So I think the biggest thing is just trying to match that, trying to go out there and give everything you have to in order to go out there and play a good football game and try to come out with the victory.
Patrick Mahomes Floyd, do you think Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback in the NFL right now?
I very well could be.
I mean, I didn't this year. I don't do that thing where it's like, who's the number one QB? Is it Russell Wilson or is it Lamar Jackson or is it? But if we were not, and again, recency bias is a reality. But I mean, I think the two best quarterbacks are Patrick Mahomes, because Brady's kind of showing signs and Ben got hurt. And I think the two best quarterbacks, and Lamar is, I mean, I'm sorry, Lamar. Like, I like Lamar and he's a good player and I'm glad of what they do. But when throwing more is your Achilles heel.
As a quarterback,
you can't be the best QB in the league. Like, nobody says, you know what you need to do to stop Green Bay? Have Aaron chuck it down the field.
Don't rush Rodgers. Just let him chuck it.
Oh, no, so forget about Lamar. I think it's Mahomes or it's Russell Wilson. I mean, those are the two best quarterbacks in the league right now. And the only reason I give the nod to Russell is, and it's not fair to Mahomes, but the reason that I give the nod to Russell is because his entire team is terrible except for him. I mean, his entire team is awful. Defense stinks. Offensive line stinks. Marshawn Lynch is like 47 years old. I mean, they're terrible. DK Metcalf can run. That's all he's got. And Russell got you to the divisional round. And honestly, Russell could have gotten you into the NFC title game. So I don't think anybody can say a bad word about Russell. But Mahomes has a better arm and can zing it. Now, against the Titans in the first game, Mahomes was 36 of 50, 446 and 3 touchdowns. I don't even know if you can play better than that. Again, 36 of 50, 446, 72% completion percentage, and he had 3 touchdowns and no picks against the Titans. That's incredible, right?
Yep, pretty good.
Mahomes was asked today, are you feeling better? Because that was the first game back from injury. Are you feeling better than you felt the first time you played the Titans?
Yeah, I mean, definitely more comfortable. I think that's the biggest thing. Being that first game back off of the injury, you don't know exactly what to expect. You trust the trainers. You trust all the doctors who say you're good to go, but you still don't know. You haven't ran at that speed with the pads on and game speed. So definitely feel more comfortable now, kind of having the games under my belt, and been lucky enough to been healthy late in the season.
Oh, man, if he's healthier than
even
he was
better.
The first time he played the Titans... I'm worried about that, especially considering where the game is going to be played. The game being played in Kansas City as opposed to the game being played here. Plus, now, I don't know about the whole feeling better and how much the knee hurt then and how much the knee hurts now. Because, again, back to the Steve Lehman question. And again, I love Steve. He's the man. Mean it. Steve asked Ryan Tannehill, are you okay if the offense has to throw it more? And Tannehill's like, of course we're okay. What, Steve, did you think he was going to say no? Well, of course, Mahomes is going to say yes when it's, hey, are you feeling better than you felt the first game back from the knee injury? And maybe he's not feeling better. I don't know. You got a funny way of showing it if 7 touchdown passes in a row is the way to show
plus,
that.
Plus, he's running around with the ball a little bit.
He is running around with the ball.
Yes.
So all of that scares me that the guy put up a near-perfect performance against you already, and he's healthier now than he was then, which makes me ask the question, what is this man capable of if that's what he did when he was partially injured against you?
Well, and I think they've seen, I mean, we just saw, they showed, you know, Hill running past a Dory and catching a long ball. And,
Hardeman had his one,
and
yeah.
And Hardeman, so they know they can get big plays. They know, and so, you know, now it becomes... How, and this is our Achilles heel in this part of the ball, you know, how do we get pressure on him? How do you get him to throw a bad ball? How do you get him contained with a pass rush? How do you do all those kinds of things and put enough pressure on him to keep him from standing back there and patting the ball? Because if he pats it about twice, it's probably a touchdown, you know? I mean, he's that way. Scary.
So I think we have to forget about the yards. The 446.
Oh, I don't care about the yards.
He's going to throw for 400 yards,
yeah,
especially if you win. He'll throw for more yards if you win than if they win.
Yeah, I mean, and all that's fine. I don't care about any of that.
My thing is, if Kelce catches a 35-yard pass and the ball's at the Tennessee 13, keep them at the Tennessee 13. Like, keep them there. Because now Mahomes has to throw. Now, again, Mahomes is an incredibly deadly accurate passer, so he can put the ball wherever, which makes him just as dangerous in the red zone as he is when he's not in the red zone. But your defense can toughen up in the red zone. Tyreek Hill can't run past you when they're at the 13-yard line because he can only go to the back of the end zone. Mecole Hardman probably isn't even on the field if they're at the 13-yard line. So now it's going to be Mahomes passing to Kelce, Mahomes passing to the back out of the backfield, Mahomes scrambling around, all of those things, which, again, I don't like any of them, but your defense is it's compacted down. Maybe the defense can make a play there. But I'm worried about, you know, Kelce catching a ball at the Tennessee 13, throwing off a tackler and running into the end zone for a touchdown. Or Hill catching the ball at the Tennessee 13 and Adoree Jackson being 3 yards behind him and Tyreek Hill running into the end zone for a touchdown. Those are the plays, in my opinion, that will absolutely get you just annihilated.
Well, Hill beat Logan on a crossing pattern down inside the 20 somewhere in the first game. I mean, just, you know, clear across the field, but just took off and just outran him.
Well, don't put Logan Ryan, who can't run with... If Logan Ryan can't run with Kenny Stills, he can't run with Tyreek Hill.
And I think part of it was they were saying, hey, we're inside the 20. There's not a lot of room. Well, you're right. There's not a lot of room vertically. But horizontally, you got 53 and a third yards. So there's a little room there.
Andrew on the text line says speed is not everything. They can't remotely match up with the Titans in terms of being physical or toughness. And that's what the Titans have to take advantage of. Do you agree with that, that Kansas City can't match up with the toughness of the Titans?
Well, I don't know if they can't. I mean, they didn't the first time, I didn't think. And we're only more physical. I think the thing that I always felt this way about two physical teams, or one team that is physical and one team that tries to be physical. You can be physical, or you can try to be physical, as long as things are going really good. But if it starts getting where it's going to be tough a little bit, I think that's where you lose them. Mm-hmm. And because it's just too easy to revert back to your old ways that it is to stay in there and, you know, take another swing at a guy. Whereas that physical team, I mean, like, and the Titans are physical. I mean, this is their way of life. They like it dirty. They like it, you know, ugly. And I'm not sure Kansas City does, but the other side, I'm not sure Kansas City has had too much. Mm-hmm. You know, it hasn't had to get ugly for them much.
Ramal on Twitter says the greatest asset of the Titans is the media. Arthur Smith has done a great job. The media says stop Derrick Henry running, so the Titans just use quarterback boots or hit a tight end or throw the deep ball. And maybe the wide receivers show up this week. I do think this. I think Arthur Smith has done a great job, and maybe this is Tannehill too, at catching teams where they are selling out for Derrick Henry, and then they pop him. I mean, they've done a great job of that. Even New England, they popped New England when New England thought, oh yeah, they're going to be running the ball, and then even the third and one where Derrick Henry busted for 66 yards. I mean, some of that is you got to have the will to run. Some of it is right timing, etc. I would agree, though. I do think if Kansas City sells out for the run, there will be opportunities for Tannehill. The problem is if you get into a firefight in a passing game, Ryan Tannehill is not going to outthrow Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, we don't want that to happen. But we're going to have to supplement what we do with Ryan throwing the ball. I just hope he gets some help. You know, that's what I'm scared to death of.
Mariota package. Marcus. Let's go to Randall, who's up next. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, Randall.
Hey, guys. I love the show.
Thank you.
Floyd, can you talk about the differences in the coaches? I mean, I know Andy Reid, he seems to lose his mind in managing the clock during the playoffs. But if you could just discuss that a little bit, I appreciate it. I hadn't heard a whole lot about that here lately, and I'm going to hang up and listen.
Thanks for the call, man.
Andy, of course, is an offensive guy. Andy wants to throw the ball around the ballpark, and he's got the people to do it. Let's face it. So, you know, they're going to be very, very good at it. You know, defense has always he has always been one of those guys that if this offense is good enough, then the rest of the team isn't near as important. You know, the defense isn't near as important because this offense is going to be so good it can score so many, it can score that many points. And there actually has been a little bit of truth to that with this team for him, even though you wouldn't, I wouldn't, you know, broadcast that. But Mike and not, you know, Andy is not a, I wouldn't call him a great disciplinarian. I think the players like playing for him. He is a smart guy. He is very in tune with what it is he's wanting to do. I'm not sure he's quite as in tune with the entire game. Mike is defensive guy, you know, very, he's going to be conservative. He's going to be smart. His guys are going to be very, very well coached. They are going to be focused. They're going to go out there and they are going to play as hard as they can play for as long as they can play. And I think you're seeing both of these teams kind of reflect, you know, what their head coach wants. I mean, I think the Titans are kind of a reflection of what Vrabel wants, and Kansas City is a reflection of what Andy wants. So everybody's happy from that standpoint.
Speaking of the two coaches, what they had to say today, we'll break that down next. Jared and the GM, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game, and we're streaming on the Game Nashville app. Jared and the GM press conferences today, both Andy Reid and Mike Vrabel. Now, you know what was different about today's press conferences than the ones on Monday where they talked about the AFC title game and whatnot? Is now the AFC Championship game backdrops that have no Titans logos, no Chiefs logos. It's just the AFC Championship logo, and then Intuit presented by TurboTax, who I guess is the official sponsor of the AFC and NFC championship games. Those backdrops were in place for these press conferences. Mike Vrabel and Andy Reid. We start with the confidence of each team. You want to start with Vrabel or you want to start with Andy Reid?
You know, doesn't make any difference.
Let's start with Mike Vrabel. Mike Vrabel was talking about the confidence that the Chiefs have and the confidence the Titans will have to have going up against Kansas City. This is what Mike Vrabel said today.
You know, I think that that's a confident football team. I mean, they had won 7 in a row. They're fully aware of their explosiveness and what they can do. You know, I'd like to think that we're playing with a lot of confidence, too. You know, I think that when you can run the football against the Baltimore Ravens, New England Patriots, take care of the football, you know, those are, and I want our players to play with confidence, too. You know, there's a lot of ways that these games unfold. You know, I've learned from great coaches that you have to have a game plan, but you also can't predict the way that the game's going to unfold. However it unfolds, you have to start coaching that way and then make adjustments.
Floyd, what do we think about the confidence of these two teams going in? Kansas City, 7 touchdown passes in a row.
Oh, yeah.
Against Houston, coming back from down 24-0, and the Titans, who have taken out the Patriots and the Ravens on the road.
Yeah. I mean, I think they're the thing that is obvious with both these clubs is you know who they both are. And they both have very strong identities. And I think they're both going to go in, and they're different, much different. And so this will be a really, really interesting game, a great clash. You know, you're going to see the best running game in the league versus the best passing game in the league. And where does it go from there?
Meanwhile, a lot of people to that point of running game versus passing game, a lot of people are talking about old school versus new school. The old school Titans with Derrick Henry, Patrick Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, etc. with the new school. Mike Vrabel asked about, is this old school versus new school? What do you think?
I think when you talk about the Chiefs, I think you talk about a coach that has done it for a long time and has seen and been able to adapt and to adjust to his roster. And whether you run, you know, I think this is cyclical. I think that if old school is hustling and being physical and playing hard, then that's, to me, football. And the schemes are always going to be great. Everybody's got a great scheme. But it's the players and the teammates that make the scheme really work.
Floyd, what do you think about that, what Vrabel said, but old school versus new school football?
I kind of agree with him. I mean, I think it all flows around. It's cyclical. And, you know, whatever you say this year, 5 years from now, is going to be different. So, you know, I mean, the bottom lines are kind of the same. That is, you know, you've got to generally speaking, unless you're the most talented team in the league, you're going to have to run the ball. You're going to have to stop the run. You're going to have to play some defense. And, you know, I think try to put together a roster that has the least number of holes you have. And I think that's, you know, I think Andy has a good feel for his team and where the weaknesses are and what to do. And I think we do too, but I'm not sure we can do a great deal about ours, and that's a concern.
Meanwhile, the AFC Championship game, how do you manage the excitement? Mike Vrabel has played in many of these from his time in New England. Here are the Titans. A lot of guys have not played an AFC Championship game. The Chiefs coming off theirs last year. How do you manage that excitement of the AFC Championship game?
I think we're excited. I think that when I stand up here, we're excited to still be playing and practicing and locked in for a new challenge. Every game you win, the next one gets bigger. You go from 32 to 12. From 12 to 8, 8 to 4. I think my math's okay, but, you know, that's just where you're at. And we didn't know it any different. We really went to Houston, and, you know, we put everybody's suit in a bag, and we dry clean them for the night. If we win, we dry clean them, and we give everybody their suit back for the next week, and we fly. We did that in Baltimore, and we'll do that again this week.
Don't think it matters that Derrick Henry gets his suits dry clean. He always shows up in a new suit.
He'll have a new one, yeah.
Oh, I do wonder what Derrick Henry's going to show up in.
It'll be special.
On Friday or whenever the Titans head out to Kansas City. What do you think about the Titans being able to manage the moment of the AFC Championship?
Yeah, I think it's, and this is one of the great things about having a guy like Vrabel who has played in the games, you know, because I imagine if you're playing in a game, you're going to get even more wound up than coaching or GMing in the game. Mm-hmm. And so he's been through that, and he's been through it enough to understand it. And he knows exactly, you know, how it's going to be. And I think he can preach that. And because he's got the rings and stuff to prove it, I mean, they'll listen to him. So that's important. And you've got Logan Ryan, and you've got, you know, some guys that have been there that are going to help too. So, so I think we're going to be okay from that standpoint.
Meanwhile, the Titans have to go to Arrowhead Stadium. Now, I've been to one game in Arrowhead in my life. I know you've been to a lot more. I went to a 2013 game, the Chiefs in September against the Giants. And I remember all the fans and how loud it was and thought to myself, how does anybody win a game here? Now, I'm hearing there's going to be a lot of Titans fans, maybe as much as 25% Titans fans at Arrowhead Stadium. But
really?
What about playing on the road in the AFC title game? Here's what Mike Vrabel said.
Really nice starts in these games on the road. How important is that good start against a team like Kansas City? And if you somehow don't get it, how important is keeping your composure the other way?
I mean, we've been down. We've played them pretty much both ways. And when you go on a road, you understand it's going to be loud. It's going to be a hostile environment. The details of the game plan and making sure that the players know exactly what we're doing early on, whether that be defensively, offensively, or a special teams situation, you know, because they're going to be excited, they're going to be amped up, the crowd's going to be into it. We found that out last week, unfortunately, on third down. We got to clean up the operation, you know, getting the play in there quicker and making sure that, you know, Ryan doesn't have a million things to look at. We can give ourselves a chance. So, you know, we always want to play from ahead. I mean, who doesn't? But then, you know, we were down against these guys in here at our place, and you know, found a way to battle back. So, again, we're not going to quit because we're ahead at the end of the first quarter or we're behind. As evident, as explosive as they are, I don't think that that's a hard message to tell our team. They all watch the game of Sunday's game.
Meanwhile, for the Chiefs, Andy Reid, 1-8 against the Titans. Andy was asked about how he's 1-8 against the Titans.
Nobody's going to ask, but your team's 1-8 record against the Titans. Is there a common thread through that? There's been some crazy games and some really strange bounces in the game.
Yeah, they're all different. Heck of a record, though, isn't it? Not very good. I mean, Ted was telling me about it. I normally don't keep track of those things, but Ted reminded me before I got in here that you guys would ask. So I got to do better on my end. My players, they've won more games than I have against them, you know, some of these guys. So, I'm just going to bank on them.
What do you think of Andy Reid trying to play it slick there by laughing off the
1-8? Yeah, I mean, what's he going to do? I mean, it's the record is pitiful, and he knows it. And, you know, he's going to, I think, you know, he's chuckling about it here.
It's not a laughing matter to him.
No, it's not. It is not. And especially against, you know, us. I think if it was against New England or something, you know, they'd say, oh, yeah, no big deal.
Well,
but
that, and I know Andy blames himself for the game that Succop hit the 53-yarder because he called timeout, and Succop kicking in the cold was short on his first attempt. And Andy knew it as soon as he called timeout. Andy knew I should not have given him a practice kick. And then Succop drilled the next kick. And then we asked Andy about that at the combine the following year. And Andy was like, yeah, I screwed that up. So Andy knows he messed that one up. Andy probably feels like he messed up the 2017 game. And then obviously this year. So no, it's not a laughing matter. That's it for us. We're out of here. Last show in Nashville tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Meanwhile, Preds Insiders, Ryan Ford, Darren McFarland's next.